Oh, hey there, you're back. Well, welcome back to this lesson. In this lesson, I'm going to teach you something very important, how to find your money-making idea. See, here's the thing. You ever heard the phrase, skills pay the bills? Well, that's only sort of true. You don't just need any skills, you need a money-making idea. What is a money-making idea? Well, a money-making idea has really three components to it. The first is what I call the 9 questions of doom. The second is a skill audit. That's you figuring out what you're good at. And the third is competitive research. Let me take you through that right now and show you how you're going to find an idea that's going to make you money ASAP. The 9 questions of doom. This is where the ideation process starts. This is where your money-making idea comes into focus. I want you to use these questions as just a roadmap to help you to start thinking about where some of the ideas that could work for you might fit in. And specifically, these questions are geared to make you think about your community, think about your surroundings, and try to find where you might be able to uniquely fit in with something that you can do. So, question number 1, what's special about where I live? And I mean geographically, demographically, culturally, even for the time period that you're in. Depending on when you're watching this, there are some things going on in your neck of the woods that only you know about. And you should take notes of this because that's where businesses start, in the local community and with the needs that start there. Second question, what type of new technology is disrupting old technology right now? And of course, you'll be able to see this by reading the newspaper, by looking in the news, by looking on social media. You'll be able to understand, especially in your area, where some things are being disrupted and modernized. You might be able to fit in there. Number 3, how can I make an old industry faster, cheaper, or more reliable? Really important question to take inventory of. Another question, what types of industries could be modernized when it comes to their marketing presence or their social media or the way that they interact digitally with their clients? Very important to know. Another question, what types of services are still only available through mom and pop shops? What things haven't been brought into the new era yet? Pay attention to these in your local community and online. Another question worth asking yourself from the 9 questions of doom, what services are hard to find that the public needs or that other businesses need? You know, what do you always wish you had but can never find anywhere? Start thinking about that and start listening to what others are saying about what they wish they had but can't find. Another one, what services exist right now but are much slower than they should be? Take notes. And of course, 2 final questions. First of all, how much money do you need to make? You know, what's your goal? Is it just to start a side hustle, or are you trying to start a consistent, long-term, and profitable business? And of course, how quickly do you want to get started? Some ideas take a little bit longer to germinate than others. But these 9 questions of doom will help you to get your mind right, will help you to get your mind clear, help you to get your mind straight, so that as we go into the process of creating the ideas, you'll have a good framework for what might work and what might not, based on your individual circumstances, your individual location, and the things that are important and special to you. So what I want you to do is take that list, take 60 to 90 minutes, and really go through it. Don't just rush it, okay? This isn't like school work where I'm gonna be grading you and I'm looking over your shoulder and you have to do it because I say so. You should be wanting to dig into this stuff because it's so important to getting to the bottom of what your money-making idea is gonna be. And it all links sequentially. So once you spend time on this list and you really knock out these 9 questions, then you can move on to step 2 of this whole process, which is obviously doing a skill audit. And you're going to combine the 9 ideas that we've talked about with this skill audit to start finding the cross section of what might be needed versus what you have. And then over time, the ideas start to become clearer and clearer, and the money-making ideas just form and they pop up like corks on a lake. So you've just experienced the 9 questions of doom. You have a better idea of where your market might be because you've asked yourself some difficult questions that help to reveal some information, but we're gonna keep unpacking it. Now it's time for the skill audit. And a skill audit is pretty simple. It's a few questions that you wanna ask yourself internally that will help you to start understanding where those money-making ideas lie. The hidden treasure, the buried treasure. And I just want to step into your brain space right now and stomp on the idea that you don't have anything worthwhile. I want to destroy the idea that you have nothing that's going to make money, because the reality is, at the end of this program, you're going to come out with your money-making idea and you're going to see that it was in there all along. So, what are the questions you should be asking yourself for the skill audit? Well, the first is, what skills do you already have? You know, everybody throughout their life develops some sort of skills. I mean, I'm talking to this camera right now and there's a whole crew of people who are skilled in what they're doing, whether they're directing, whether they're running the sound, whether they're gonna do the edits later. they have a skill they've developed, and you probably have something that you've developed as well. And it could also be something that you've been doing for many years, but you haven't really given yourself credit for. That's worth money. Another question in your skill audit is, what are the hobbies that you've been doing throughout your life? The things that, you know, that you've been doing for fun, but that you know people also want to learn. Maybe you're an athlete. Maybe you're maybe you're really into health and fitness. Maybe you're really great at baking or cooking. Maybe you're really great at taking care of animals or young children. Those are hobbies, right? But they're also things that have a market value if you know how to market them. Another question you might ask yourself is, what do people constantly ask me for or say that I'm good at? Quick example here, you know, my brother-in-law, Caleb, bought a big old truck because people kept asking him if he would help them move over the weekend. And he said, sure, I'll do it. And he bought a truck and he opened up a side hustle, just started a moving company with one truck and two people. And that's because people kept asking him. He had his little radar antenna up and he identified a money-making idea. So ask yourself, what do people always say that I'm good at? Are people always hearing me sing in the shower and saying, I wish I could sing like you? Well, maybe they can if you give them singing lessons. Do you see how it starts to connect? And another piece that you want to ask yourself in this skill inventory is, what are the skills that you're actively interested in still learning? Because of course, there's room for development. And remember, when you're helping someone and working through a process with someone, or you're helping them with one of your skills and you're providing a service, you don't have to be a world-class expert in order to deliver that service. You just need to be able to deliver on a promise and do something better than they could do it alone. And I'm going to keep reiterating that point to you because it's very important for you to understand that, to get past some of your mental barriers. But just know that you still can be learning the skill that it is that you're providing as a service, as long as you're dedicated to the craft, as long as you're getting better and providing great service to your clients. So skill audit. What are you good at? What do people tell you that they want from you? What are you already learning that you want to learn more of? And of course, what are the hobbies that you've probably been neglecting in the back of your mind for years? Start with that skill audit, combine it with the things you've learned from the 9 questions of doom, and the picture starts to get clearer. It's getting much clearer, isn't it? I hope. Well, if it isn't yet, here's how we're going to continue to bring it into focus. Let's think about where we are. We went through the 9 questions of doom. We went through the skill inventory. Now, da-da-da-da. Competitive research. You gotta know your competition, baby. You gotta know who's out there. You gotta know the opposition. My great-grandfather told me that he always listened to who the opposing candidates were when they were doing radio announcements for the political campaigns. He said, I wanna know what the idiots are saying. You gotta know what the idiots are saying. So how do you know who your competition is? I mean, I can't tell you how many of my, you know, students who ended up becoming successful, much like you will, I can't tell you how many of those people came to me and they said, I don't know what my idea is and I don't know who my competition is. And of course, they just had to look for it. So the first thing I want you to do is start looking for your competition. Where are they? You know, start using that little Google tool. Start using that beautiful smartphone which has the entire world at your fingertips. And you want to be looking for specific things. First of all, what position do they hold in the industry? Are they a big fish or are they a small fish? You know, what are the products that they're selling? Where can you find them? You know, do they have Yelp reviews? Do they have Facebook reviews? What are those reviews like? You know, how long have they been in business? How many employees do they have? You know, what's the general feeling of the company? What's the brand like? You start to understand who the competition is, and then look at the people who, or the businesses, who are the big movers in your space. Start to understand what makes them good at what they do, and start to understand how that might also expose some of their weaknesses, and really start to understand the competitive market. Now, once you do your own recon, you might find some pretty critical details, but there's more that you want to learn, and you won't be able to tell just by reading what you find on Google or social media. You're going to have to actually do some in-depth research. You might have to go all CSI on them and actually do some autopsy, perhaps. Maybe you'd actually even want to call them. What I recommend is that you actually either email your competitors or you call them and you pose as a customer. Sounds kind of weird, right? Well, it's the best way to get real, unbiased information because the goal should be them trying to sell you. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to either write an email or make a phone call, and I'd like you to figure out the following ideas or the following questions so that you can add these to your competitive research. One question you're going to want to ask them is, how do customers typically find you? You know, where do most of your customers come from? Another question you might want to know is, you know, is your business seasonal? When are the pops? When are the dips? You just want to get a better feel for when the industry moves and how their business functions. You also might want to take note of just how long it takes for someone to get back to you. You know, what's the speed of them completing a job? Is there a waiting list to get service for whatever it is that you're trying to purchase from them? Do they, you know, let you leave a voicemail and wait days to call you back? You're going to get indicators from your conversations with them that are going to give you ideas of how that business is run. And here's the key. When you listen to these people on the phone, when you do your research, when you start to compile this information, you're going to learn some very valuable things. Not only are you going to learn what your competition is good at, you're going to learn what they're bad at. And here's a pro tip. If you come to an industry where you can see, just like in the 9 questions of doom, that there are obvious gaps, and then you get on the phone with these people, or you email them, and they're either non-responsive to you, their answers are not that good, their customer service isn't that good, or you see areas where they can obviously improve, there you go, golden ticket. You found something that there's an obvious gap and a lane for you in. And now you just have to make a choice. Is that your side hustle? Because it looks like you found your money-making idea. You're a young person watching this, most likely, and that means that you've been conditioned out of using the phone. And that could be okay for this. You can actually send an email asking these questions to your competitors, and it will come off pretty well, almost the same, except that you're not going to get the same feeling for how their customer service might interact with you. There are little details that can only be picked up on the phone. And honestly, you might get much faster responses by phone. So I always want you to consider using phone as a first option, even though our generation has almost been scared straight of using the phone. That's a side note. And look, there are going to be businesses that you call, and they're on it. They're on their game, the ones that are killing it. And those aren't anything to be scared of. You should be taking notes. What are they doing right? Understand where the winners are winning, and we'll highlight even more where the gaps are in your industry might be. And that's how you can find where your money-making idea rests. So let's get specific, because I want to give you guys some examples, some concrete examples. And just as a, an asterisk, I'm going to call it out here. Throughout this program, I'm going to be sharing a lot of different reference points to my own experiences. And I have 3 specific stories of building side hustles to multiple 6 figures that I want to tell you about throughout this program. And I'll talk about various stages of that business. So don't get too annoyed with me if I mention my businesses a few different places, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to show you different angles of the business in different areas of the foundation of that business and why it's important. So I'm going to use the same examples many times to build on different concepts. That's just an asterisk so that you know why I'm doing this. And I wanted to give you the first example right off the bat. You know, if you've read my book, you know that I started this game doing SAT, ACT test prep. I'm very, very good at picking lucky numbers, apparently. But I did run myself through this process of, you know, finding my money-making idea unwittingly at that time about 10 years ago. And here's how it worked. You know, first I ran myself through those 9 questions of doom. And at the time, you know, I was living in Atlanta, and I knew that I wanted to transition out of working at the restaurant. I was frustrated and fed up, but I thought, well, okay, how do I know what I should be doing with my skills? How do I even know what skills I have? I started to think about the area that I lived in, and I realized that one of the questions that I hadn't asked myself yet is, what's different about this area? And one thing that really impressed me about Atlanta at that time was that there were tons of private schools opening up, charter schools. And there seemed like there was a very big emphasis in the community on education. But at the same time, as more parents were trying to get their kids the best education, obviously the school district is still beholden to these standardized tests. So there's a lot of students and a lot of families and parents who care about these tests, but there aren't as many people to help these students get the good scores. So I immediately started to see potentially a gap. I knew that there were a lot of private schools in Atlanta, and that was my first piece of this equation. I identified the unique opportunity in my area. In early college, I'd worked for a pretty large test prep company. In fact, it's a national brand, and you'd know it if you saw it. And because I was in that community, inside of that organization, I saw that there were gaps. I saw past the gleaming glass doors of this institution, and I saw the holes and the dark spots in the corners where they couldn't service their clients, but I knew I could. Now let me give you another example, maybe not so nerdy egghead like me. Think about my wife. Now, I gotta tell you something, guys. It really helps that she has the world's best side hustler next to her, by her side, for eternity. But the reality is, I didn't even really coach her through this. She actually took herself through the idea validation process and found her own money-making idea. Well, because she looked in our neighborhood one day and she started asking herself some questions. You know, she said to herself, I'm in school right now. I'd like to make a side hustle. I'd like to make some extra money. What's unique about our community? Now, I can't tell you my exact address, but I live in quite a large apartment complex in West LA. And the cool thing about this apartment complex is that, well, there are probably at least 1,000 people who live there. And West LA loves dogs. So she started to see something in the atmosphere. She said, what's different about this area is that for every 4 people, there's at least 2 dogs. That's a lot of little paws, isn't it? And that ratio seems pretty high. People like animals so much, but everybody has to work. I wonder if there are some gaps in taking care of these animals. So first she realized that there was an overabundance of dogs in our community. I can tell that by looking around and just seeing all the dog poop on the lawn. I can look around by seeing that there are dogs walking owners. I mean, it's dog crazy. People will stop you if you tell a dog to stop barking, because dogs have rights too. But that's beyond the point. She saw this imbalance and she thought, okay, this is what's happening in my community. Now, what's my skill inventory? Well, as you might know, Sarah's working on getting her master's in psychology. She wants to be a therapist, and she's great with kids and with animals. So she has a natural affinity and an ability to take care, to nurture. So now things are starting to come into place where she sees there's potentially a gap. She sees she has a potential skill set. And now she runs through herself through the third part of the process. She does her competitive research, and she realizes, man, I'm looking around the neighborhood and I don't see anybody posting up signs for dog care, for dog sitting, for pet walking. I don't see really any strongly affiliated local brands for this stuff. She started to do her research and realized, man, it all lined up. The need, her skills, and the market. And she started her dog walking business. And it might sound simple, but isn't it pretty cool that she was able to scale that to making $1,000 or more every single week just by walking other people's dogs? How'd she do it? She exists in the community that already has a need, and she started to gracefully and subtly create her offer and give it to our community. And of course, I will tell you exactly how to do that yourself in upcoming lessons. Okay, now zooming all the way out here, let me just assuage some of your fears. That's okay, I get it. You're stepping your foot right into the very shallow end of the side hustle pool. And we've taken that first step. You're starting to develop that money-making idea. Now, let me just tell you something that you might already know. You're weird. But guess what? I'm weird too, and you're not alone. Most of us feel that we don't really have anything to offer, and so it makes us feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel maybe like an imposter. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough to really offer your services and get paid for them? You ever felt like you didn't have something to offer? Well, let me tell you something. There are 4 specific reasons why someone would want to work with you. And the reason I want to really cinch this lesson with this particular idea is because, really, a big part of this is confidence, my friend. So why would someone hire you? Why would someone want to work with you? What's the point? Well, the first thing is, someone would hire you because you're saving them time. The whole purpose of this, of you providing a service, your side hustle, is to help somebody or another business accomplish something faster with you than they could do without you. And of course, time is money, and you're helping them to both make and save money with your services. The next piece of that, and why someone would want to hire you, is expertise. You're bringing a skill set to the equation which that customer is going to lack. And you combining your skill set with that specific gap makes their business or life better. Your expertise is valuable. People pay for that, okay? The next thing is process. I mean, you probably take what you can do for granted. I mean, let's put it like this. How many times have you learned something and after a while it's become second nature, but then someone else tries to do what you can do and they're not good at it? Well, that's because your process for whatever skill, whatever side hustle you have, is something that you've been honing and crafting for probably a while now. And you having a process for walking somebody through either something they're working on with their business, whether you're helping them to build a website or you're consulting them, or whether it's in their personal lives, you're walking them through a diet or a nutrition plan, or you're giving them coaching. Your process is something that a novice, a beginner, or a business without you simply can't do. And that's why they're hiring you. And of course, revenue. Look, we're trying to make people money. And especially in a B2B context, this is everything. If you can show that what you're doing actually adds to the bottom line of a company, well, that's gold right there. And if you're working with consumers directly, if you can show that what you're doing is either putting money in their bank account or saving them money, it's also gold. And just some clarification, depending on if you're doing B2B, which means business to business, you working with your services to help another business, or B2C, business to consumer, you working with your business to help a customer or an end user. No matter what you're doing, you're offering value, and it's of your time, it's of your expertise, it's of your process, it's of the revenue that you're either bringing them or helping them save. And this is why they'd want to hire you. They're irreplaceable, but you have to remember that you're bringing something real to the table and you deserve to get paid for what you're doing.